views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6 here in Texas. So just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show, and all of you, thank you for just being you and all of those of you that listen to us. From day to day, we greatly appreciate you. I know I do. I know Scotty does. And I know the listeners, with just your comments, just your overall involvement, is extremely important to us all. So, and the way that we got to keep that going is that we need to continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. And if you all would so kindly go to the website for Black Talk Radio Network, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And if you would just give some of your financial energy to keep this network going, is the only support that it has is you. You're the only sponsors of this network. If you would, give some of your financial energy so this network can continue to do what it's been doing and do so much more. And you can do that by going to the website for it, and that's www.blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. And there in green on the homepage, you'll see the donation prompt with the holding hands. Just hit that, and it will lead you into how you can give some of your financial energy. Also, you can support this network by going to its social media network. And that's known as BTR Community. And you could also find that by going to www.btrcommunity. Or you can do it on the homepage for this website. And it is the black background with the capital B that's there. Just hit that. That is the social media outlet for this network, where you can engage in all of your social media activities that you would normally that have been accustomed to doing on the mainstream ones, such as FedBook. But here at BTR Community, you won't be adversely affected by that, by your identity being sold to any bidder, by you being adversely affected by what you post and everything else, because it's a membership. So not anybody can just get in and see what you're talking about, see what's important to you and everything else. So very, very important. Keep your overall thoughts private, else. You know, one of the things that I grew up in, I appreciate my mom so much. Love you, Mom. Is my mom always taught me, what goes in your house stays in your house, because the moment you let it out on the streets, your problems will become as big as the streets. And that's so, so true. Keep your business private. And so you could do that by, you know, engaging in a relationship with BTR Community. That's very easy to do, and you could do that by just signing up for a membership, and it's only $24 a year for that, and it's the only place where I post. So would love for you to join that and continue to help grow this network, very, very, very important. So there's BTR community. Very, very important. Okay, so also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could easily do that by going to prosperitymint.com. That's prosperitymint, ProsperityMint.com. Prosperity Mint. Check out what's there in inventory. Become someone that saves as a king or a queen or a lady and a gentleman, but do not save as a slave, because that's what they pay everyone as, and they pay you that because they give you pieces of paper that have no intrinsical value. Get real money that always will have intrinsical value, especially now, especially for some of the things that's going to be going on and what's happening. Very, 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 very important. So engage in that. And before, if you're new to buying, acquiring the precious metals, saving in the precious metals, make sure you email info@prosperitymint.com. And once you do that, what happens is that someone will get in contact with you, and just make sure that you understand the overall buying process that's to your benefit, because you want to buy correctly, and just give you some advisement on some things that I think you would definitely find very, very appreciative. So very, very important, because a lot of things we don't get exposed to, and we don't know, and we have the best intentions, but we just go about it the wrong way. We want to make sure that that doesn't happen. Also, July the 1st is coming up fast and quick, ladies and gentlemen. July the 1st is coming up fast and quick, and that's very important, because on July the 1st, 2017, we will be having the Control Your Wealth Seminar, and it's going to be here in Dallas at 1515 Young Street at the Central Library. The Control Your Wealth Seminar is going to be starting at 10 a.m. and will go into 2 p.m. Very, very important. It would love to see you all there. Come on down to Dallas. And also, if you would, if you're not able to come to Dallas, there will be tickets that will be made available, a way that you will be made available so that you can engage in it online. I will bring you that information on Monday, starting Monday. And you can do that very easily by going to eventbrite.com, Control Your Wealth Seminar. Tickets are $300 for individual tickets, and they are $550 for couples. And what's going to happen at the Control Your Wealth Seminar is that you will actually get a Prosperity Mint will give a one-hour presentation about things that's going on that you need to know about and make ready for. Then Trust and Foundations, a one-hour presentation about Trust and Foundations, how to do it, why you want to do it, by one of the individuals that I consider probably the best in the country, let alone if not in some of the best in the world. And you will absolutely appreciate this individual and this brother. So Trust and Foundations will be 1 hour, and then there will be a Precious Metals, Prosperity Mint will also present a hour of Precious Metals from the Precious Metals classes. 1 hour of that will be given there, and then there will be a one-hour debriefing as to some of the opportunities that you should be engaging in. We could be collectively moving in together. So let's definitely engage in that. It's $300 for single tickets, $550 for couples. It's going to be here in Dallas, 1515 Young Street at the Central Library. Come on in to Dallas and spend some time with us. Great. I'm looking forward to meeting you all. And we're going to be expanding this as well. So very, very important. Control Your Wealth Seminar. And this will be something that you will be able to use for your benefit. You will be able to benefit from this. So definitely looking forward to that. And you can find that on the Eventbrite calendar. On the Eventbrite website, and it's Control Your Wealth Seminar by Prosperity Mint. And if you are a vendor, also you could just go to the Eventbrite Prosperity Control Your Wealth Seminar and check out the vending, what you want to do vending wise. It's right there, all listed. So looking forward to meeting some of you all and just engaging with you all one way or another. So that's what's on calendar. Also, if you would like to be a part of our cryptocurrency format, and that's you can go to rcryptocurrency.com, and then that will lead you into the Trade Coin Club, platform that we use, and you'll be a part of our group by going through our cryptocurrency.com, and you will be able to trade the cryptocurrencies. And also, we're going to be doing that on our own. So get all set up, join that. Looking forward to that happening for you all. So that's another opportunity that you should be looking at and engaging in as we move forward. Okay, with that being said, I just want to say I'm looking forward to hopefully next week or the week after, before we have the Prosperity Mint sponsored Control Your Wealth seminar. I'm hoping to get my man Reggie Middleton on air as a guest. So sent out, I talked to Reggie yesterday, and so just trying to work out some schedules. Hopefully Mr. Middleton will be able to come on. And for those of you that don't know who Reggie Middleton is, check him out on YouTube, Reggie Middleton. And he's going to be coming on with some very, very, very valuable information, in my opinion, for you to be engaging in. So looking forward to that. I've been following that young man for quite some time now. Very, very proud of some of the things that he's doing and what he's done so far. So looking forward to that guest coming on. You know, with us here on Tando Radio Show, we usually don't have a lot of guests, but I'm going to start to try to get more. There's a lot of reasons why, but I need to get my man Chico Stick on. So many things. I need to get a bunch of different people back on as guests. Looking forward to doing some of that as well. So, all right, so let's check out what's in the news. And today's show, we're going to start from the top and go to the bottom. Today's show is do what you can before you'll need it. Very, very important. Do what you can before you'll need it. So check out that. That's today's show. First article I posted, this one comes from Misty Institution. Four reasons why college degrees are becoming useless. Students are running out of reasons to purchase higher educations. Here are four trends documented in a recent article. Graduates have little to no improvement in critical thinking skills. The Wall Street Journal reports on the troubling results of the College Learning Assessment Plus test. Check out that one. Next one, article is also same place? No, it isn't. From the MeshyTalk.com, unable to pay his bills, Illinois sends notice. Dear contractors, letters telling firms to halt road work on July the 1st. The state of Illinois has not passed a budget for close to 3 years. Arguably, it is just as well becoming Illinois' budgets for the decade and have been nothing but a moth-eating collections of lies. One-time deficits repeat endlessly, and financial wizardry statements designed to disguise Illinois' real problem. Failures to rein in spending coupled with a very business-unfriendly environment. Check out that article. Very, very, it has a lot to do. This is something that's going on everywhere and needs to be looked at strongly, and you need to know and to prepare accordingly for that. Next article comes from South China Morning Post. China leaps towards quantum age. China has carried out the first quantum entanglement from space, according to the team behind the project, and what promises to be a significant step towards a new era of hack-proof communication. Huge, huge, huge that China has engaged in that. Next article, this one comes from Sputnik News. Better the devil, you know. Why Israel unexpectedly fears the Qatar crisis. Relations between Israel and Qatar have long been frosty. While Jerusalem has cordial dealings with other major Gulf monarchies, Doha's funding of Hamas is a major bone of contention between the pair. However, the country's leaders haven't welcomed the recent isolation of Qatar by its neighbors. Check out that article. Next article, this one comes from A Times. posted this one from A Times. Is North Korea using China's satellite to guide its missiles? Pyongyang doesn't have the funds or resources to build its own satellite navigation network. Check out that article. Next article, I got this one from AP News. About 4,000 more U.S. troops go to Afghanistan. The Pentagon will send almost 4,000 additional American troops to Afghanistan. The celebrity figurehead President Donald Trump administration officially said Thursday, hoping to break a stalemate in the war that has now passed to a third U.S. commander-in-chief. The deployment will be one of the largest of American manpower under celebrity figurehead Donald Trump's young presidency. This is the war, ladies and gentlemen, completely starting to continue to develop and envelop. Next article comes from oilprice.com. Did this backroom deal just bust OPEC's control on oil prices? Dave Foster is a managing geologist of the Pierce Point Daily E-letter. Libya has one of the biggest X factors in the global crude market the past year, with an on-again, off-again production that is key. Move this down. That is on-again, off-again production in this key nation's alternative supporting and suppressing prices. But news this week suggests that things are looking up for Libya's crude output. I don't know about that, y'all. Definitely, there's so much, because that is not going to, so many reasons, but we'll cover some of those at another time. Want to keep rolling as we go along. Another major article. Germany threatens retaliation if U.S. sanctions harms its firms. And the sanctions that they're talking about, the sanctions that are going against Russia, which means that anything that harms Russia is now harming Germany. This comes from Reuters. Berlin, Brussels. Germany threatened on Friday today to retaliate against the United States. If new sanctions on Russia being proposed by the U.S. Senate end up penalizing German firms. The new state bill approved on Thursday by a majority of 98-2, including new sanctions against Russia and Iran. Russia and Iran. Any sanctions against Russia and Iran hurts Germany in so many ways. This is how you lose allies, and it moves into a war where your allies now become your aggressors or your predators. That is definitely going to be happening, in my opinion. Next article from Reuters. Trump's to clamp down on Cuba's travel ban. On Cuba's travel trade, curbing Obama's ruling. Celebrity figurehead Donald Trump on Friday will announce plans to tighten restrictions on Americans traveling to Cuba and clamping down on the U.S. business dealings with the island's military, rolling back part of former celebrity figurehead President Barack Obama's historic opening to Havana. That is what's in the news. And at any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. And today's show is do what you can before you'll need it. And what I mean by that, do what you can, ladies and gentlemen, to build what it is that you need to be building. Very, very, very important, because at some point in some time, you'll never know when you'll need it. And I just want you to be able to have it in a way that benefits you and your family. So, so important. So if you'd like to get in on today's show at any time, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. I am losing my voice because we do a lot of talking. So on today's show, I'm going to look at a couple of articles, and then I'm going to have to put in a couple of other things to help out, because I don't want to lose my voice. Can't actually do that, because got some very, very important things that I want to do. So check this out. One of the first articles I definitely want to get to that's very, very important is I think that we've been laying out some good reasons as to why you need to be preparing, because you all are doing just that. And I just want to sincerely thank you all for you being you. I didn't know any of you before, but now it's like I've never not known you all. And I truly, truly appreciate all of you. And you know who you are. It's so many to name. My sister Deborah. I mean, I could just go on. My man Jambone, Roz, Mel, Jerry, Strategic Melanin, Scotty, the Davises, brother and sister Davis, person I'm extremely, extremely close with, brother Braggs, and I would have not known you if it had not been for your energy putting out that this is what was necessary. And I just want to sincerely, sincerely thank all of you, my man JB, John, Thomas, and just there's just so many, Keziah, Ivan, just Melanie. It's just I could go on, and once I start, I really, really can't, even stop. My man John Black, I need to hold on because I could go on forever with all of the individuals. But I just want to sincerely take out this quick moment to say thank you to you being you. And it's truly more than a pleasure. It is so endearing and so sincere that we are going through this moment in eternity together. I prize that. I truly, truly do. For those of you that was with us when we were on Blackonomics on the Empowerment Radio Network, and you made the transfer over to us once we left that platform, I absolutely thank you all, Robert, and I mean, it's just so many, the VP, VP Will, and just so many of you that I sincerely, sincerely appreciate, because, it was easy for me to just worry about and just be content with doing things that I know was necessary, because just wanted to give you some little background, with us is that, been preparing since, when the lights went out in New York, went out in 77, when I was a child. Right then and there, I realized that something just ain't right in the world. I mean, you knew it already before, and all of us, as you remember back in your childhood, how strong that overall resonant frequency that was deep inside of you that you relied on, but you were learning to start to suppress. You remember how strong it was. Things just didn't, add up. That's when you really had the heights of your superhuman powers. But it was because it was so, underdeveloped in a human body, it needed to go through that maturation process. You didn't always effectively use it, but you knew it was there and it was present in your everyday life. And and you were learning, the system was trying to teach you to not to trust that, to let that go, and just to be a domesticated energy force. And because of that, I remember during my childhood, I remember all of the individuals that I'm meeting now. I know it sounds strange, but every single individual that I'm meeting now, I remember that individual energy and that individual frequency from when I was a child or even before then. And so because of that, it's like I've never not known you all. And I truly, truly appreciate you being there for me and for us since then, and I'm going to be here and we're going to be here for each other going forward. It's really, really not hard to explain, but it's difficult to grasp if we've been too thoroughly domesticated. But for those of you that have been schooled, but maintain your overall truthful education, you know exactly what I mean. And I truly, man, it's a beautiful thing to run across an individual, another energy force that you've known, that you identify with forever. And I just want to thank you all for you being you and us being us, and look forward to growing collectively together, because I think that's very, very, very important. So I just wanted to express that to you all for a lot of good reasons. And the main reason is because I truly do appreciate you all, and sometimes I think it always needs to be expressed. And so I just wanted to take that moment to express that. So we're going to jump into today's show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation at any time, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. Okay, so let me jump in. There's a couple of things that I want to do today. So, and especially looking around for today's show, do what you can before you'll need it. One of the things that I would always definitely say to us all, we need not to be anxious for anything. We need not to be fearful, of course, of anything, and really appreciate the moment in eternity that we're in right now, because there will be many, many more. But it's so to me, it's so beneficial for us to kind of embrace these moments. And I say that because at any moment, and I'm going to go with this, at any moment, it could change to where you look back and say, yes, those were the good old times and everything else. But still, every time that you're in is going to be a good time, especially when you make it that. In light of whatever it is, it's going to be a beautiful moment, because that's what life is. It's extremely beautiful. Yes, it has some difficult times and everything else, but those difficult times are really a part of the beauty of life and beauty of it all. So things are going to be changing, and I have no qualm of saying that they are probably going to be drastically changing at a moment's notice, unexpectedly by the majority of us. But see, nothing can sneak up on us. I do live by. Nothing can sneak up on us, because there's a lot of cloaking and creeping that's going on, but we still see it. We see it in our resonance, in our ability to measure energy, and our ability to resonate sincerity, and our ability to resonate and distinguish and discern the future and everything around us. There are many things in energy forces that are creeping around us that are going to change things, that could have an adverse appearance for us to surrender. When is it going to happen? It's been happening for a while, but what I'm specifically speaking of, I really don't know what it is. I just feel that something major is going to be happening. It may be for an individual, it may be for us, but I think it's really for us, and where we will look back and say, yes, this is the reason why I've been preparing. This is the reason why we put out this. And it's not me, it's really us, because what you put out energy-wise, we all gravitated to each other, and we started this building process, and it's going to continue to build, and it's going to continue to grow. But I don't think that it ever has to be hastened by anything, because where we are is perfect right now. So, but what I do want to say is I want us to take the time that we have and the moments and opportunities that we have to execute great discipline for the future and invest forward. I want us to think about not just investing right now or in the next 2 years, 5 years, but let's invest 1,000, 1,000,000 years ahead. And I think that that is something that has to be a desire or the execution of your free will. It has to something that has to be important to you. And there's all the reasons why that should be. And the number one reason society would tell you, well, no, you don't need, you're not going to be here for another 100 years. Take care and enjoy everything right now. No, but you are going to be here 1 million years from now, 100 years from now. So work on building all of everything now for the rest of your eternal moments that you are going to be going through. And I think it's not only a physical thing, but it's more overly a spiritual thing that we should be doing, because that's what's eternal. And in part of that eternal process, who knows, there may be another physical segment to it all. And if it is, it's going to be beautiful, as this was beautiful. Are there challenges and difficulties? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Are there things that we want to change? Yes. Why do we change things? Because that allows us to build and strengthen who we really are by knowing what our capabilities are. If you're a talented painter and you never pick up a brush and dip it in the ink and the paint that will exemplify your talents, maybe you'll never be able, then you won't be able to sharpen your skills because you're not practicing it. You're not living it. You're not engaging it. So I want us to really engage in all forms of things of our talents. So, and the reason why is because there are things that are going to be challenging to us. And if we have sharpened tools in our toolbox, we'll be able to use those tools to give us leverage to build, fix, repair, replace what it is that we need to replace, dismantle what we need to be dismantle. And it's a very, very important thing for us to be doing 1 million years from now, but starting to pick up the hammer now. So it's a couple of articles I want to read to you really quickly before we get into a presentation. I want to play something from that I got off of. Where did I get this off of? It was one of the older channels. Was it C-SPAN or I can't remember where it is. I'll remember in a little bit. But about the depression. And the reason why I wanted to hit that one, the depression, because Strategic Melanin had said, asked me to do this a little bit while ago, and we're definitely going to go back to that. And so, and we've done it before, and we covered some of this, but we didn't cover it in different, you know, I love to cover it in different viewpoints. That want to give you another perspective. So what I want to do is I wanted to bring another perspective about the Great Depression in a little bit later on in today's show. And my sister Strategic Melon just got back on the page, and I'm gonna check out some of the things that she just sent me. Yeah, I saw the I'm gonna read the long one you had, and but there was Strategic Melon sent this one, came from MSN News, and I saw this before we went on the show, but didn't have time to actually post it. I did see this, but I'm glad you did it. Multiple injuries as U.S. Navy destroyer hits merchant vessel near Japan. And so I definitely check out that one as well. So we're going to check out the Great Depression. And the reason why we're going to check out the Great Depression is because I want you to sharpen up your toolbox so that when the greatest, well, it won't be, this is not going to be a depression. This is what we're going through. The depression is now. But the untying of the untied states of America is going to be quite, quite challenging. And I want your toolbox to be as full as it possibly can be by you practicing disciplines. And so before I even read any articles, I'm going to just talk about that. Some of the things that I think that you should be doing. One, making sacrifices now that will benefit you and your family 1 million years from now, while still living in and conducting a very prosperous life in this moment in eternity. How can you do that? One, think about the challenges that we'll be facing, and some of you are all over the country and you have different perspectives and everything else. Look at the challenges that we're going to be facing, not as something that is that invokes fear, but something that invokes a challenge to you. Something, as we always say here, never scared, always prepared. Something that you're already prepared for. And once you start to develop that fundamental basic mindset, then you can start to use different tools to build your walls, to establish your foundations, to get your footing in, to get your rebar in. And what are those things? That's where you understand, or you truly have a better working knowledge as to how economies work and what's the side of it that's detrimental to you. How to properly re-engage ourselves in the sustainability that was given to us through love, not the overall falsehood of riches that was given to us by the letter of the law. Meaning, what the great creator has given us for sustainability is a part of our existence, our birthright. Think about it. If you're the creator of something, the responsibility is yours to fulfill their sustainability above and beyond what they're able to do. And that has been dutifully taken care of. So us re-engaging in that, those fundamental truths, promises, and acts of love, we still can benefit and harvest now. And those that harvest that now and perpetuate and grows that and plants that will continue to ensure that will be giving going forward in the right light, meaning where those individuals that will be benefit from it will have a full understanding of the cultural necessities to that. And they won't be fooled by the pen. They won't be fooled by the deception. They won't be fooled by the lie. So with the challenges that we're going to be seeing, one, look at your individual life. Look at what it is that you've been doing, what it is that you're doing now, and what is it that you can do, and establish a plan from that. Challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to fix something. Challenge yourself to repair something. Something that's too different. Repairing and fixing is too different. Two different things. Challenge yourself to create something. Challenge yourself to save something. And I would say, challenge yourself around those attributes outside of what man has created in the economy. Move into the ecosystem first, then apply those things to what man has established in the economy. I think that's something that we all should be doing, is challenge yourself to fix something, repair something, save something, plant something, and create something. One of the things that I like to do, this is just me individually, I love to work in a garden because I love the overall process of things being able to grow and bear fruit by you just placing it and what the great creator has already given everything and just watch it grow. And watch the different phases and different conditions and the different forms that it can take. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. To me it is, and it's very relaxing, because I think it's very, very important that we always cultivate the true life, the true love, the true beauty and sincerity of our capabilities and our talents. No, I didn't create, you know, the seeds and everything else, but what I like to do is I like to take seeds and create the opportunity for them to grow from all standpoints, from to bear fruit, to provide municipal uses, to provide aesthetic, to provide proper, just everything, just from protection, all types of things. So that's what I would challenge you to do, instead of doing what the system and the schools have taught us to do. Also, I would say, which is very, very important, work with someone other than someone you already know. Cultivate a relationship that you'll be able to start to work with someone. Cultivate a relationship. Of course, being mindful of everything that you need to be mindful of, but don't worry about that. Why? Because what you should be picking up from, even if you happen to by happen chance you run across someone that's insincere, that is still a great opportunity for you to grow and develop, so that you can be able to distinguish from what's sincere and what's not sincere. So many times we walk away from the bad instances, and so we never become proficient at adjudicating them, solving those problems, because we run from them so much. That's what school teaches us. It doesn't develop any critical thinking. Think critical. Become a critical thinker. Trust yourself. And if you make mistakes along the way, those mistakes, I think the way how you perceive them is the most important thing. Have a healthy perspective of what they are, of your so-called challenges and so-called things that you didn't do well. Very, very important. Because a champion truly does not become a winner until they fully understand the process of losing, the importance of the process of losing. So our different challenges that we have, don't let them move you from your ability to build yourself. Don't let them move you to an ability where your talent is not recognized and harnessed. Because some of you, and when I mean some of you, that means every single one of you, every single one of you, especially the ones, all of you that I've engaged in any form, I see how talented and how beautiful and how powerful you really, really are. And I know you do too. And some of the things that we battle with is we got to battle through this indoctrination program of domestication. We've been thoroughly domesticated to where we almost put the leash on our neck every day and hand the lead to someone else. And we walk in next to them as being told to do. And we think that it's the world, when in actuality, it's just a part of it. It's not the whole fullness of it all. Much, much better to have a fullness. So that's what I would say. I would love for all of us. I'm going to do some of those things. And reach out to someone as that you may have had some odds with. Not from a standpoint that you're surrendering to him, or you are lessening yourself. No, not that at all. It's just the opposite. It's just that you're much more evolved than that. Reach out to someone that you've been at odds with. And not a matter to necessarily settle that odds right then and there, but every single engagement and every single person that you have run across, because the way that you all resonate, and this is why we're all here, every person that you have come across has been beneficial to you one way or another. That's why you do it. You do it because you deserve it. You truly do deserve it. So just wanted to put that out and share that with you all. Wow, time really flies. But at any time you'd like to get in on the conversation, would love to hear from you. What I'm going to do at the top of the hour, I'm going to jump into the depression. And so if you'd like to jump in before then, give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. My grandmother actually lived through the depression. And one of the things that I was, as a young man, one of the things that I always cherished doing was sitting under her, and my questions would always be, you know, to her, extending around the Great Depression, around that time period. And I would always ask her, Mama, what was it like then? And Mama, what was this? What was that? And she always would look, why are you always asking me so many questions about the Depression? And she would laugh, and she would look at me. She says, I'll tell you. And she would tell me, and I would sit under her, and she would methodically explain everything to me from what they were going through during the Depression. And some things were extremely painful. And I hated sometimes bringing up that old pain. Some things that she totally forgotten, but as she started to talk about it again, it reignited that. But it was something that I needed to know about, to build a character that I was too afraid of building at that time because I was so thoroughly schooled.
Dave.
And because I sat under her. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to let you know I had a...
No, you're good, brother.
I had a question. Did you ask her, and do you know how they survived that time period? Because for many of the families where I'm at right now, it's because they had the ability to farm and feed themselves that they were able to survive. So that would be interesting to talk to our elders about those difficult periods, because I'm sure they got plenty of lessons that they could teach us. So did you ever ask her how they made it through that period?
Yes, definitely. And what it was, Scotty, and I'm glad you said that, because that was like the first, you know, one of the first things. How did you guys get through? And you know what she said? We relied on each other so much. And what it was that my grandmother actually lived in the city at that time, and was, so she gave me that perspective. But there were other family members that were in some of the southern states, and their way of getting through it was different. And one of the ways that they were able to get through it was that the depression for them in the country, it was slower for them to realize that the depression was there, only because they had already had reliance on that anyhow, you know, especially within the black community. The black community was already depressed way before it happened. But what was significant with her, with my grandmother, is that she gave me the city side, and there was an uncle that I had that gave me the countryside. And I'm you know, I'll share, you know, some of theirs. One of the things that my grandmother said that during the Depression, at that time, it was how they were able to do it was, and she said, well, we ran liquor, was one of the things that we did. Another thing that we did is that they ran a black market. And my grandmother was one that was a black market hub where they actually had their own economy that was built in, that was, you know, on the black market. And because of that, they were able to, in the cities, and this was in the North, she was able to do well. But of course, there was some bad downsides from the distribution of liquor. And what people used to do with her and her family is that they ran a black market, and they had a black market gambling that they engaged in. And I'm looking at my grandmother, my eyes went in different directions. You did what? You know? But that's where some of the things that they were able to do, because life had become so difficult, and they had to become so much stronger because they were seeing people that weren't just losing everything. They were seeing people lose everything. They were losing their minds to where they were unrecognizable. People would just disappear, they would disappear for all kinds of reasons.
Dave.
And some of it was, yeah.
Some key things you mentioned there. You know, I haven't always lived in the South, and even here in the South, I've lived in ghettos, quote unquote ghettos in Charlotte at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I don't look down on people who have so-called street hustles. I don't look at them trying to call them immoral or anything like that, because you know the person who's doing what they're doing as a means of survival, and then you know they're the others who do it as a means of a lifestyle. You, am I making sense here?
Right.
Yeah.
No, 100%. Scotty, yes. And everybody knows who you talking about.
Right, right.
And what you talking about.
Yeah, there are some people who just want to do harm, and they engage in some of those behaviors and whatnot. But there are others who are trying to survive. And so I can understand how you might have felt knowing that your grandmother was engaged in something that may have been considered illegal at the time. But again, man, I'm like this. If I'm homeless or whatever, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do to survive, to eat, to have shelter. I'm gonna do whatever it is I have to do, man.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna die. I'm not just gonna lay down and die. Sometimes you are forced to do things you otherwise may not do. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, definitely, Scotty, and it's so true. And I mean, I was surprised by it, but you know what it did? It caused me to really, really admire my grandmother so much more, because when she talked about it, she was a small, small, quiet Indian. I mean, when you see traditional copper-colored people, my grandmother fully exemplified that. But when she talked about it, the warrior in her stood up, and it caused me to really realize how big she really is and how big she was at that time. And from what she was telling me about, and I'll share some of the things, what she was telling me about what they, how they were able to endure things and how they were able to, they were absolutely marketing geniuses. I mean, just geniuses and entrepreneurial geniuses. And one of the things that destroyed that was that they got too close to the overall, because of how long it was and how deep it was, they got too close to the liquor and to the alcohol. And that's what totally started the overall health down, a demise and everything else. And I remember with my grandmother, she lived into 103 and was just sharp as can be up until the last year. And my grandmother always, if I was going to get a story about the depression out of her, always had a beer in my pocket to give her that I had to go take from, you know, from out the kitchen, because my mom would say, don't give grandma no beer and this and that. Psh, man, grandma talk when you give her a beer. I'm going to give her a beer. But it was just so much that I learned. And the most important thing before we get ready to go to a commercial break, most important thing that I learned from my grandmother is that they knew everything was coming because they started to see people overextending themselves, and they knew that they were going to, because they didn't come in, they weren't rich. They, you know, they had the everyday problems of being black in the American economy at that time. They started to notice that things were about to really get really, really heavy because the economy was starting to set up the so-called purveyors of it in the affluent communities and the white communities, and she could see it and they couldn't see it. And what did she start to do? That's when she started to prepare, and it was years before it happened that she started to prepare, and she was still very young when it happened. But because of what she was told by others earlier, they knew it was coming and they prepared for it, and that was the only reason why they were able to be able to get out of it the way that they were able to get out of it. Listen, get ready to go to a commercial break, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I also want to bring in some things about the depression. I'm going to play some things about the depression that I want you to hear that's very, very critical. We are at that time right now. Everything that my grandmother told me and taught me about the depression before it happened, or while it was happening, what she learned from people before her as to what was going to be happening, all of those things are happening right now, but they're far, far worse. So you're listening to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. When we come back, I'm going to jump right into this depression, and then we're going to end it a little bit earlier. The video will end it a little bit earlier so that we can come back and talk about it. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Your choice for digital black radio. New Black Media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And today's show is do what you can before you need it. And I want you to just listen to some things and start to think about what is it that you'll be needing to be doing before this thing starts to get much, much larger and more apparent, and before it really, really sets in a way. And it's already setting in, and these are the things that we should be doing right now, anyhow, because we are already in far beyond the Great Depression. We are in the process of totally the empire falls. We are moving into the fall of the empire. So that requires a different preparedness and a different level of thinking. But we can definitely get a full footing of it by looking at some things that have happened in the past economically. So I'm going to jump into that right now. Here we go. So, and then we'll come back in the show from there. Here we go. Enough. What he was basically saying was that America, it was overextending itself in credit and in debt, and they were engaging in so much consumerism that they didn't realize what they were doing. They just were so euphoric in doing it.
In 1919, there were 6 million automobiles in the U.S. 10 years later, 27 million, one for every 5 Americans.
Consumer culture blossoms in America. Installment credit buying blossoms in America. It's the age of the flapper, of bootleg gin, of jazz. It's also a period of enormous excitement about the stock market, where all kinds of ordinary people, not just the stock market professionals who'd always participated in Wall Street, but ordinary folk began to see Wall Street as a place to play, to grow rich quickly, a place that was largely risk-free. Therefore, the 20s in America is a period in which Wall Street, for the first time in its history, is associated with play culture, with getting drunk, with sexual abandon, with consumer delights. Wall Street becomes a part of that larger way of life.
America discovered a passion for stock exchange dabbling. In 5 years, stock market prices were multiplied by four. The Dow Jones Index went from 100 to nearly 400. Such a rise seems incomprehensibly enormous in view of the actual economic situation. Dazzled and fascinated by the promise of easy money on the New York Stock Exchange, or Wall Street as it is known, Americans turned out their pockets. In 1929, $2 billion were invested on the stock market.
More people than ever before were buying stocks. This was really the first time in American history that the stock market sort of moved to the center of the culture.
The prosperity is so great and so widespread and so sustained, going on for many years in a row, that the average citizen who would never otherwise think of starting a business, who would never otherwise think of getting into the stock market, actually considers doing so.
La bourse devenait le sujet de tous les ménages. Tout le monde pensait que c'était un nouvel Eldorado et les ménages
investissaient
dans la bourse comme un casino.
People, particularly Americans, have always been trying to get rich fast. The difference is that in the 1920s, it seemed like there were more ways than ever before to try to do that, and the stock market was one of those ways. It was a new kind of wealth to people. You go in and you buy a stock, let's say at 20, and you didn't know anything about the stock market. So the next day the stock is 23, and the next day it's 27, and you haven't lifted a finger. And boy, that was easy. If I just keep doing this, I'll make a lot of money and I won't have to.
Okay, I want to stop it there real quickly. And I want to stop it there because something that I want to definitely share with you all that is very, very, very important in today's show is about do what you can before you'll need it. Same thing is happening in today's economy in so many different ways. In the cryptocurrency space way, it exemplifies that but much, much bigger, because what we're going to see, in my opinion, is just that much bigger. And how is because of this. I've always said that you want to own some of the cryptocurrencies, you never save in them. And in the initial stages of it, there's going to be going through these highs, these new highs, these astronomical highs, and they're going to go low and everything else. What you should be doing is that you should be modestly engaging in that and taking out from that, from the currency, and putting it into assets. Very, very important, because that's where we are, and that is similar to, you know, every generation has a movement that the system, in my opinion, controls, that gives a perception of one thing and it gives an addiction to all. And I think that that's very, very important that we know those things. And if you know those things and are mindful of those things, you can be disciplined in what you do with it. But it is always up to you how disciplined you are. If you don't go into it with a real, sincere game plan, then the likelihood is that you'll be in it for all of the wrong reasons, and that's when it catches you. So that's what we don't want to, but I just wanted to make a mention to that. Here we go. We're going to get back to it.
To do anything. And it got to the point where people became addicted to the market.
The stock exchanges in Europe were aristocratic, that only a few people engaged in the stock exchange, whereas the stock exchanges in the United States were democratic.
And they're ordinary people. They're salaried workers, they're middle class folks, they're shoeshine boys, they're housewives, they're ordinary folk like you and me. This is an extraordinary new phenomenon, and they are giddy about it.
C'est une époque où les chauffeurs de maître conduisaient en ayant la tête légèrement penchée en arrière pour écouter leur patron discuter des nouvelles imminentes d'arrache de telle entreprise par telle autre. Donc il y a une vraie euphorie collective. People feel foolish not participating in the money that was almost there to pick off the ground. There was this kind of collective herding mentality.
John Jacob Raskob, head of General Motors, assures everybody that the economy is safe, sound, and guaranteed to be prosperous. In fact, he writes a very famous article that appears in the Ladies' Home Journal. Everybody ought to be rich, he says in this article, and he tells them how. And this appears 1 year before the great crash of 1929.
John Raskob wrote.
Okay, I want to stop there real quickly because of this. He says that everyone should be rich. That's what John Jacob Draskel said, the person that was at GE. And at that time, that company was huge. It was the Facebook of today. And what did the so-called celebrity figurehead Facebook person say relatively recently at a commemorative speech? For a group of college graduates, that every person should have a living wage. But see, it sounds like they're sincere, but at what cost are they doing? The exact same things of the depression that was happening there is happening now, but the overall magnitude of it is far, far greater. This is no coincidence. This is the conspiracy agenda playing itself out. And if you know it, you can properly prepare yourself for it. What should be done with those gains that you don't have to work for? You should move them into things, into assets that you do have to work for and with. There should be always some work that you're doing because you're building. So let's get back to the Depression.
If a person saved $15 a month and invested it in good common stocks, within 1 or 2 years, given the rapid growth of stock prices, would have $80,000. The financial press hailed him as a visionary. It was like the gold rush on Wall Street.
Millions of people wanted to be in on the action, wanted to buy stock, and there were all over the country there were offices with ticker tape bringing the results from Wall Street.
There are ticker tapes in beauty parlors. There are ticker tapes on railroad trains. There are ticker tapes in bar rooms. There are ticker tapes on ocean liners. So that for the first time, speculating in the market becomes a kind of part of everyday life. It had never been that before. So you have brokerages springing up in small towns, in villages, in small cities all across America, toggled together by electronic wire to the headquarters on Wall Street, encouraging people to participate in the street. It becomes a kind of sport that people are all playing together.
It wasn't the lower class that was buying stock, it was the middle class. Because one of the things that happens in the 1920s as part of this whole pattern of the new consumer culture is banks are more willing to loan, to make relatively small loans to individuals on no real collateral. That had never been done before.
Everybody needs money as an advertisement. Bye.
One American in three entrusted his savings to the magicians on Wall Street, especially as it wasn't even necessary to have the available capital. The stockbrokers gave credit, and the banks loaned cash and made their capital work. The brokers pocketed tidy commissions, and everybody made a fortune. People bought today to sell the next day. Investment companies multiplied and prospered. A new firm was set every day.
People speculate by borrowing the money on margin. That is, they put up a very small percentage of their own money to purchase a stock, maybe 10%, maybe 20%, maybe even less than 10%. And credit is so available, and everybody is so super confident, overconfident, that these speculations will pay off in the end, that people are taking enormous credit risks in investing in the market.
As long as the price of the stock went up, your collateral, it was
credit obligation,
covered, and it looked like the easiest thing in the world, and you get twice the bang for your buck. But once it starts to fall, the stock price starts to fall, then you have to put in more cash to cover the what's called the margin, the difference between the amount you borrowed and what the stock is now worth.
The new president of the United States, Herbert Hoover, based his whole campaign on one slogan: prosperity is just around the corner. They even turned it into a song. Like him, the best economists considered that the rise in the stock market was perfectly justified by the general stability of prices, the prosperity, and the favorable perspectives of the U.S. economy.
He had a golden opportunity in his inaugural to say, stock is too high, we need to do something about the market. But as a politician, if he does that and the market then goes down, as it probably wouldn't should, everybody would blame him for causing the crash. So we didn't do that.
The election has again...
Okay, so I want to just stop it really quickly. That time is very reminiscent of now. Make America great again, prosperity for everyone. That was the slogan then. Slogan now is make America great again. You see the play here? You see the correlation? But once again, I say that the overall, what is at stake, the overall intangibles are only magnified now, much, much more magnified, because it's global. This impact is global, and this is why you have the fall of empires. Same thing that was going on there with Hoover. Sorry, not Hoover. It was, I forget the president, but the one that they just said. Same thing that was going on with him, with that prosperity, is the same thing that is happening now with Make America Great Again. This is by no coincidence. It's the rehash, the replay of the conspiracy agenda that worked so well before. It's nothing new. Here we go. Listen up.
Confirm the determination of the American people, and opportunity must be given for the expression of popular will, and we should keep it so.
When Hoover said that, the market took off again. During the summer of 1929, June, July, and August, when normally the market's slow because it's summer, people are on vacation and so forth, the market went crazy.
Political and financial leaders celebrated this euphoria and this reckless speculation. This is everybody from President Herbert Hoover, and includes the nation's...
One more time. Sorry, I wanted to just interrupt. This is why I've firmly thought that this summer is going to, for the cryptocurrencies and some other things in the market, is going to explode before something else happens. So this is definitely, I'm not saying anything more than what you should be leveraging for. I'm saying this because this opportunity is here, and I want you to get what you can get before you need it, and just make sure that you're disciplined in everything that you do, because this play, we've seen it before if we've been looking. Here it comes.
Sure. chief bankers, and the country is so overcome by this sense of confidence, and they're being encouraged in this confidence by apparently the most prudent, savvy people in the country. The country's financial elite is saying everything's fine.
There was no reason to think that anything else would happen. People already imagined that this would go on, and even the most famous economists.
It drove stock prices up to irrational, even silly levels. Despite those crazy levels, as in all speculative booms, there were people who said the stock market is right.
Those as they are saying now.
Are deserved.
There is a Nobel Prize winner named Edward Prescott in the U.S. who argues that the stock market was not especially high in 1929.
The best experts, the risk experts, saying, don't worry, it will never happen. And besides, you can diversify, and if it goes down in one place, it'll only be in one place, other places it won't. That's absurd.
In 1929, you had a stock market that had been going up, 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 and as it kept going up...
Let me stop it real quick. Why was that absurd about diversifying? This is why that diversification was so absurd, because it was all based in the same thing, debt and paper. You're not diversified if you have the same thing but just a different color on it. Paper has always been paper. Debt is always debt. It may just be debt in something else, or a picture painting of something else as far as currency, but it's still all the same thing. You are not diversified. You are overexposed as what you really are, as many of us are now. And so just wanted to say that. Great, great stuff. Hopefully you are picking up some real good gems. So we're going to get back to it. We've got 5 minutes before we go to the commercial break, and then we'll run it a little bit longer and then open up for questions and comments. So here we go.
It sort of cut loose from its moorings, by which I mean instead of being based on real values of the underlying companies, it was a speculator's market in which people bought and sold stock thinking that if they bought it now, they could sell it later for more money.
Investment pools were conspiracies, really, of insiders. Top investment bankers, sometimes politicians, who wanted to speculate in a particular stock. And so they would buy up huge amounts of that stock, send its price, therefore, skyrocketing, then quickly and secretly dump the stock so that they could realize the profits, while all those ordinary folk who had been encouraged to buy that same stock because they were watching its escalation were left with the losings.
Simple as you saw.
At some point, the process started to disconnect from the real economy. Someone could have raised the alarm, but it was no one's interest, no one in no one's interest to do that. The most rational thing was to take advantage of the rise in stock price until the reversal at the last moment.
You can make more and more by taking bigger and bigger risks. Taking bigger and bigger risks led to higher and higher prices for stocks and willingness to borrow excessively in order to do that. And that created a structure that once it cracked, came apart completely.
Suppose stock prices quadruple and go from 100 to 400, even over the course of a decade. A lot of people would look at that and say, that is crazy. You would not trust a stock market that had prices going up like that.
There were people who saw that the economy's growth was based on false premises and warned that a problem would arise.
There are a handful of Wall Street bankers, investment bankers, who say that the economy and the market itself is way overextended, that speculation on margin is dangerous, that the stock market, the values on the stock market are grossly inflated, warning that this is that there are danger signs. There are some people like the statistician Roger Babson, and they are systematically ignored.
Roger Babson declared in September, 1 month before the collapse, sooner or later a crash is coming. It'll be terrific, colossal even. The stock market will fall by its own weight, and there'll be a mad rush beyond anything we've ever seen.
The higher the market got, the more other people shouted down those who warned that the market was getting out of control. Because if people started taking them seriously, they'd start to sell their stock and the stock market would go down.
There were signs before the market crashed that the economy was starting to go down again. Short-term signs of economic recession can never be trusted. We always have pauses and sometimes economies come back, but there were signs. There were signs of over-speculation all over the place, in particular the high level of stock prices, which were very hard to justify on any historical basis. But there was all kinds. There were investment trusts that average people were putting their money in. Investment trusts were able to borrow a lot of money to invest in stocks. Average people, typical people, were borrowing money on their own to buy individual stocks, margin borrowing. So there were all kinds of signs that there was trouble to come.
All kinds of signs that there was trouble to come, as there are now. And take advantage of that to get what you can while you still can. Getting ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, once we come back, we'll definitely love to hear from you. Give us a call, 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We're going to jump back into the video, but if you would like to, when we open up the phone lines, we'll probably do it right at in 10 minutes from now. So if you have any questions or comments, jump in a little bit earlier. Just take your call 866-510-9025, then hit star, that will take you where I'll see you on the board, and then we'll jump right into your question, a comment, very, very important. We're going to get going. So I want to jump back into it. Okay, here we go.
It began to sort of vacillate through September. And then in October, it began to fall. And then in about the third week in October, the bottom started to fall out.
And that's usually a sign when the bubble will burst. And it burst, it did in October of 1929.
The crash of 1929 was like a perfect storm in which all of these improbable things came together at the wrong time in the wrong way.
I want to say it wasn't the perfect storm from the standpoint of storms. It was the perfect weather modification form. That's what caused that, as the, all of them will. It's going to be something that is going to be induced by modification by man, genetically created by man. That was not the perfect storm from this traditional standpoint of having natural storms. This was artificially created and was a part of a conspiracy agenda, as the ones that we will see that will cause for the untied states of America coming to. So here we go. We're going to get back to it.
And on Thursday, October 24th, Black Thursday, collective insanity put in an appearance. In just a few hours, 13 million stocks were suddenly dumped on the market by panic-stricken shareholders who didn't even know at what price they'd sold their shares. After 3 years of intense speculation, Wall Street crashed. And no one was in a position to decide to close the stock market. The president of Wall Street was on vacation in Hawaii. The speculative bubble burst, causing financial panic. Through a domino effect, the whole of the stock market collapsed. The cumulative losses amounted to $30 billion, 10 times the U.S. Federal Reserve budget, and more than the United States had spent during the whole of World War I. In 6 days, average prices went down 50% and kept falling. And what was even more unusual, the stock market crash carried on.
The crash was inevitable. It was just a matter of time. It was inevitable. And then people realize that they had been assuming that prices would never fall, and that assumption was wrong. So their whole life had been based on an assumption that prices could go only one way. Of course, if they had read history, they would know that that was a stupid idea. They know that prices come up and prices come down.
People had been putting their hand in the till at work, taking the money, putting it in the market, figuring it's going to go up, so it'll go up. I'll cash in, put the money back in the till, and no one will be the wiser. But when the market crashed, there was no way to get the money back out.
All of a sudden, they realized the model that had been in their mind was totally wrong. And realizing that they were wrong, they panic. But as they panic, what do they see? Their neighbor panic.
On the market itself, of course, the brokers are going crazy. They're tearing their hair out. They can't keep up with the descent of the market. Many people lose their money because the trades they tried to make couldn't be made in time at the prices they were trying to make them, because the market was so over, the capacity to handle those trades wasn't there anymore. The wires are burning up.
The ticker tape, which recorded all the sales, couldn't keep up, and it would fall several hours behind. And when it fell that far behind, that means that if you were at 2 o'clock and you only knew what the market was doing at 10:30, you were in big trouble because you didn't know what had happened.
And as it was going down, those who were slower said, oh, I made a mistake. I wish I'd been faster. And the process accelerates and you get this sense of free fall.
What precipitates that? I don't think to this day anybody really knows what precipitates Black Tuesday or Black Thursday, why that particular day.
Cette vieille histoire-là, tout le monde savait que ça allait arriver, mais personne n'a prévu l'ampleur.
There was something fundamentally wrong with this economy, not only with the market, with the stock market, not only that stocks were grossly overvalued, but there were underlying problems with the economy, that this illusion of prosperity that so captivated people for nearly a decade was indeed an illusion, and that the panic was a kind of inarticulate emotional recognition of that fact, because, in other words, it was grounded in something real. It wasn't pure hysteria.
Inside, it's like a rail station at the start of the vacation, the Wall Street Journal wrote. A Niagara of liquidation. Men and women jostled each other to try to understand what was going on. These figures and letters were incomprehensible to a layman, but they spelled ruin. On the floor, there were thousands of discarded stock exchange orders. Like empty cartridges on the battlefield, wrote the New York Times.
The Great Crash is supposed to have produced mass suicides on Wall Street and elsewhere. It became the object of a kind of a gallows humor. There were cartoons about Wall Street bankers jumping out of windows and so on. It's a grossly exaggerated legend.
Speculators were said to have committed suicide. It is alleged that the manager of the Ritz required customers to pay for their room in advance, asking them if they wanted a room to spend the night or to jump.
There were indeed some suicides, not very many. One of the most notable, however, was witnessed by Winston Churchill. Churchill was visiting New York at the time of the crash. He first visited the stock market and was struck by not the panic on the market floor, but by a kind of dazed somnambulism of brokers walking around almost as if they were in a kind of semi-comatose state. And then he went back to his hotel, and while he was in his hotel, someone indeed did jump out the window of the hotel he was staying with, who turned out to be a Wall Street broker who had been ruined.
C'est l'archétype des histoires qu'on raconte quand un mythe se propage. Le premier soir où les cours vraiment se sont effondrés, les opérateurs sont sortis dans la rue. Une sorte d'angoisse collective, évidemment. Et qu'alors, ils ont levé la tête, là, au sommet d'un des buildings, ils ont vu un type qui était en l'air. Et la foule s'est dit qu'il va sauter. Ce type, c'était un plombier. Il était en train de remettre une gouttière, évidemment, il va tomber. Mais la foule attendait ça. Tout le monde a un petit peu envie de voir les spéculateurs se suicider. On en a envie. Ils s'en sont mis plein les poches. On peut quand même rêver s'il y a eu quelques suicides bien spectaculaires.
On Black Thursday, Herbert Hoover refused to go to Wall Street, choosing to take tea with Marie Curie, who was visiting the White House. He reminded her that he had been Secretary of Commerce before being elected president, and that America was sure of herself and would enjoy endless prosperity.
Okay, one thing I want to stop it there. Very, very important. This
yeah,
one
hey,
sign says $100 will buy this car. Must have cash, lost all on the stock market. That is one of the things that I remember my grandmother telling me, was that those that were really prepared for everything before it happened, they knew it was going to happen, and they had already been talking about it happening before it did happen. But most people didn't listen. But the ones that did, and the people that prepared beforehand, they were the ones that were buying things and creating new opportunities for themselves and their families, far beyond what they even thought that they possibly could. So, go back to it.
At the same moment outside the deserted stock exchange, ruined businessmen try to sell their luxury automobiles for next to nothing.
The reaction, the official reaction to the crash of the market is a sense of shock, disbelief, and hubris, a sense that if they act and simply assure people that everything is all right, the market will immediately recover. John D. Rockefeller goes and buys some stock in a very public way to show that he too is confident that the economy is sound and the market is sound.
John Rockefeller, the richest man in the world, saw his fortune melt in like 80%.
In the 93 years of my life, depressions have come and gone. Prosperity has always returned and will again.
It tries to assure everybody that the market is sound, that this is a temporary lull, and this act of buying up stock is a display of confidence in the market. And it doesn't work. Herbert Hoover, the president of the country, issues pronouncements that the underlying structure of the economy is sound, that people need not fear or panic. But everybody does indeed panic. And the panic is irreversible. It's extraordinary. It even has a sound to it. 10,000 people gather outside the New York Stock Exchange. The city is very afraid. They order mounted police. They think there's going to be a storming of the Bastille, that is a storming of the New York Stock Exchange. And that crowd gathers there and stays there for weeks. And is a kind of low hum that kind of is emitted from the crowd, a kind of dull roar, a kind of, it's like the sound of panic, the sound of anxiety.
All right, I want to end it there. If you would like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 866-510-9025. 866-510-9025 if you have any questions or comments about some of the things that you just heard. And we got Brother Braggs that's in queue. Definitely going to go to Brother Braggs. Brother Bragg, what's going on, Brother Bragg?
Peace, peace, Dave. Listen, Dave, you sit here and talk about money. Things fly through my head. I was telling my wife earlier that the reason I listen to the show sometimes, you and Scotty and other callers, when you speak, you trigger thoughts. You open windows. When you're speaking on this money, every time you pull one of these dollars out of your pocket, you're pulling out credit.
Right.
Because it's fiat, magic money, backed by bombs and bullets. Now, the only way to defeat fiat, this is my new thinking, the only way to defeat fiat would be to not use it. So, just imagine if people willing to barter, actually using lawful money. That's a whole nother word. That's a whole nother discussion, lawful money, because lawful money scares the shit out of the powers that be.
Right.
Many things,
right,
man,
it does.
My mind is reeling right now.
No, you good, Brother Brad.
Most of all, we got to get to that feel about a collective. When I say collective, if it's 1,000 of us and we put $2,000 up or 25 cents up a piece, that collective works for everybody. And we're going to have to start moving that way. Now, you can move individually if you want to, but you don't have power when you move individually. You only wield power when you move as a collective, one mind, to make a point. The reason we get no respect in this country because for some reason we can't move as a collective. But if we move as a collective, and it goes to the thing that I remember young men used to say, and the dragon whips his tail. When the dragon whips his tail, that pain is felt. And that's just a thought. Forgive me. That's how I roll.
No, Brother Braggs, that is so true. And it's so necessary that we do those things because you're absolutely right. We have to move into a system that we create instead of trying to depend on and have an umbilical cord attachment for our overall growth to something that we didn't create. We have to stand on our own.
We in somebody else's
right.
matrix. We got to break out this matrix.
Right. Using someone else's platform. Just think about any platform that you build. What are you going to build it for? This is what I want it to do. This is what I want it to do. Very, very important. So true. So if you'd like to get it. Hold on 1 second, Brother Bragg. One second, Scotty. Go ahead, Brother Bragg.
1920, 1921. This is when these people in this country came to your neighborhoods and burned your neighborhoods to the ground. It was all economic. They make it look like race, but it was a coordinated effort.
Right.
That was all over the United States, especially in the South. These people took control with this terrorism. When it came to voting, they ran you out the voting booths with this terrorism. They burned down land offices so you didn't own property anymore with this terrorism. You got to understand all this is orchestrated. Now what you got to ask yourself is who's orchestrating these deeds? The same people who did it then are still doing it now.
Because they revolutionized that, but it was by fire last time, but now it's by gentrification this time in so many different ways. In so many different ways. That's exactly what is happening now, but it's far, far worse. The dynamics, the variables, the intangibles are magnified now because the force multiplier is now that it's global.
Hey, Dave,
the debt is global. Go ahead, Scotty.
Did you get an opportunity to catch that interview I did with the Puerto Rican filmmaker? His name escapes me right now. But yeah, I posted it in
BG. Yeah, I know what you.
Yes.
Yeah, I did, and I was going to actually listen to that tonight, Scotty, because that plays right into what's going on. Puerto Rico, so many places play into what's happening. But go ahead, Scotty. I was actually going to listen to that tonight because I don't have any classes.
Yeah, so what triggered that memory to recommend watching that again is he's the first one I heard describe what they're doing to Puerto Rico is gentrification, and how he quoted one of their liberation leaders from the 1800s, and he said they want Puerto Rico without the Puerto Ricans. But he said something that made a lot of sense. Now, this Puerto Rico became a Spanish, I believe it was Spain, a Spanish possession back in the 1500s. Then they had the war, the Spanish-American War, and they turned into Spain. Instead of paying reparations after the United States won the war, gave them the Philippines, gave them, I know they gave them Puerto Rico. Guam is another country that he mentioned. So these aren't states. These are colonial possessions, and they are entirely ruled by the United States Congress. So he's saying, how can you say right. Puerto Rico owes this debt when you are the one who's running the country? You in control of everything, and then they say Puerto Rico have a $78 billion a year so-called income or something, or that's how much they generate in revenue on the island. And so that's what the exact amount that they saying that they owe. And what he said, what happened was that debt, the original holders of that debt, sold it to Wall Street speculators for 30 cents on the dollar. And yep. Now these speculators are going yep. to the Congress trying to force them people. So do you understand the tangle? Well, check that out. Check that out. But in terms of what Brother Bragg mm-hmm. said about the dollar being backed, everything, slavery, everything is backed by guns and bullets. That's the only way that a global minority can enforce its control like that. And if you just go all throughout history, that's been the only advantage. That's been the only advantage.
Yep.
So if you're talking about establishing, and whether people want to acknowledge it or not, these people are members of this corporation, are in control. The shadow government, the families, all of that. We could talk that stuff all day long. But they're doing it through a legal entity. See, these people are, I've heard Brother Braggs mention about law. These people are all about the letter, even though they break, you know, their word ain't worth a darn, but they're in control of the entire process. You know, that, like they say, the judge, the jury, and the executioner. So when I hear people, when I study black nationalism in this country, for example, I'm standing on my own stuff, like Brother Braggs say. But you do want some kind of liberties, right? So if you're going to do that as a group of people, like he was talking about, won't act as a collective, you got to demonstrate that by taking over a state. That's what you do. You know, instead of establishing your own, that is yours. Take control of it. And the only way for a group, you know, the racial classification of black people can do that is if we all migrate to the same states where we taking over the politics and who's in control of the guns and bullets, but politicians. So you have to demonstrate that you can even run a state, take over a state, run a state before you talk about nationhood. And there's that's like working your way up to taking steps towards a goal. You understand what I'm saying?
Sovereignty.
Towards
sovereignty. Because exactly what you have to do is that you have to inundate an area to where you can control it and all of its assets and all of its decision making. That is very, very true. And you know, this is why one of the things that I'm looking forward to with the trust and foundation side of things, and that's definitely so true. You have to take over a small portion and then grow out from there And that encompasses all of the sustainable things that you have to control, not own, but control. Very, very important. We got to get ready to get out of here.
Jazz, I just want to... One more thing before you run. You said trust.
Yeah, brother.
Trust is a very important word because trust are involved in every last transaction that we do, whether we know it or not. Remember,
yep.
I'm 61 years old. I'm just really starting to realize in the last 4 years that everything is commerce. Everything is commerce. Just listen to what I'm saying and suck that in. So when you're sitting there listening to the radio, they selling you something. If you turn on that TV, they're bombarding you 90 seconds a minute with commerce. Everything is commerce. That's why they control everything that's got anything to do with these make-believe dollars. They control it to pull those dollars. And that's all I have to say, Dave.
So true. Well said. So I just want to thank you all for listening, and definitely would look forward to seeing you all soon. Brother Braggs, if you will, take us out. Thank you for calling, Brother Braggs. Thank you, Scotty, for your input, and all of you that listen to Tando Radio Show, thank you for your engagement and your involvement. There's a lot of things that we need to do, and look at what it is now. Make sure that you are starting to acquire those things now so that when you do need them, you will have them. Thank you all. It's never goodbye. As always, we'll see you later. Much love and much respect. Before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Brother Bragg, take us out.
Yes, sir. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.